Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Blog Talk Radio. Your show will go live in 5
3:30 in the morning, not a soul in sight. City's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. Raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving in. He's heading back from somewhere that he never should have been.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's 7 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. Central Time. And we're here live. You can call in 515-602-9731. And
she's pacing by on the telephone in her faded flannel gown.
There we go. Yeah, I'm trying to get my audio fixed up here. I was messing with the YouTube, so we're on YouTube now. According to Zoom, we're on YouTube Live. And it popped up and it said, you're on YouTube Live. So I'm assuming I'm on YouTube Live. So here we are. It is Monday. It's June 27th, man. At the end of the June is almost upon us here. And next weekend, actually, is 4th of July. So drivers, if you're out there messing around, trying to figure out taking time off and everything, just make sure you remember that if you're going to be out there hauling freight, Monday is a holiday. Next Monday is a holiday. So take that into consideration. Of course, it is 4th of July. You always had to prepare for that. You know, I mean, even as over the road, sometimes you don't make it home. Or maybe you just ain't got nothing going on. Maybe you don't have, you know, any kids. Or maybe you've got older kids and, you know, somebody's doing something else or planning on something. And you're like, well, you know, I'm out here driving and making a living, so I'll go ahead and do this. Maybe, you know, me and my significant other, we're out here together, so we're going to spend time together, and you always get somewhere. My fondest memory of 4th of July weekend as a truck driver over the road was just recently. I mean, it might have been like 2016, 2015. So, I mean, I was hustling. I'm trying to make money, like, and I was moving. And I was over in somewhere, like, in either in Minnesota or somewhere like that. I was pretty good distance away from where I mean, it was a good load that I got. I just remember that. I remember it was a good load. And I was moving good freight, and I was going back and forth and hauling good stuff, dropping it when I needed to drop it. And just everything was going right along. And I said, let's keep this going, even through the holiday, right? Because, I mean, I knew the holiday was coming up, and I was like, let's make it happen. And you know, I got a load right to Cincinnati, or like in the area. I think it was Hebron, Kentucky, you know, or that area down there on the south side. And I just, it just clicked because the revenue was good. The miles were good. Everything was working out. I got the best part was, is I got there Sunday, like 4th of July, I think. I mean, I can't remember exactly what happened, but it's just, just so happens that I got there the day before. And I got parked at the truck stop there over there on the south side, the TA, got a good spot, and called an Uber and Ubered over to a hotel, got a hotel, and went downtown, hung out, and saw the baseball game and the fireworks show there for the Cincinnati Reds. And that was a great game, and that was a great time. And I mean, like, going to the stadium, you know, never been to the Cincinnati Reds stadium over there before, downtown area. I actually took the Uber to the south side of the river and then caught, like, the bus or the tram or whatever that takes you there. I mean, like, they've got a bus that runs across the bridge from that big shopping center where there's an aquarium and a movie theater and a shopping mall and all that stuff. And plenty of places to eat there on the south side, on the Kentucky side of the river. And then there's a shuttle bus that took you over to where the stadium was for the ball game. And it was like don't pay for parking at the game, pay here or park here, you know, and then that way you're all good to go, and that way you can go to the game and then come back and of course, you know, eat, shop, do whatever. And that's what I ended up doing. It was a great time. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, called up some old friends and they met me there for dinner and everything. So yeah, that's what you do as a truck driver. You just make the best of it. And a lot of times you're out there hustling and you don't realize it. And you're like, oh crap, you know, what am I going to do? You know? So as truck driving, you know, that's, like I said, next week's a holiday. July 4th will be next week, next Monday. And then, you know, the week's coming to the end here for us. I just got back from Houston. I live in Corpus Christi, and I got back from Houston today, this morning. Went to the truck show there, the Texas Trucking Show. Had a great time and met up with a lot of great people. CDLLife.com was there, and I met those guys over there, and they really support Redneck and I's a great big deal. They like to see us doing what we do. Of course, our biggest thing is we Google the news, and CDL Life pops up. So, you know, they help us. So what we're reaching out to them is hoping that they can try to help us out more to get more of the information to you guys, or like, you know, the news, or maybe even some more commentary about the news, about trucking issues. Cause that's a couple of the people that they mentioned to me is like, they like to get more of the driver's perspective on the news. So that was a great thing. So we're going to keep tabs on that. And just try to bring stuff better to you for a better radio show. Met up with some great people there. A lot of great, those vendors. It was like a really fancy job fair, in my opinion. There were a lot of carriers there hiring drivers. And of course, my biggest question that I asked a lot of them, I said, are you having a hard time getting drivers to apply, or are you just not finding qualified drivers? And they said it's a little bit of both, but it's hard to get drivers qualified. That's the biggest problem. So that's why I think that it's a big deal. Like we talk about like, you know, being a good driver, showing up when you're supposed to show up, don't have a lot of accidents, you know, be reliable, and of course, be professional. You dress right, act right. You know, that's important. So that thing there, that whole concept is what they're looking for. And when they do your history, they're going to look up tickets. They're going to look up your criminal history. Of course, you know that if you've already got a CDL and you've been in the truck driving game for more than a year, you know that that's what they look for. Everybody looks for that. Everybody looks for, you know, the history and what you've done in the past. And if you've got any speeding tickets in a big truck or in your personal car, they're going to know about it. So you got to let them know, and you got to, and of course, you know, some of them are harder than others. So you got to watch out for that. So to me, that's what you got to face is that if you're wanting a good paying truck driving job, you got to act right. You got to always be ready for that stance where, you know, things are going to not always go your way, and you've got to handle that professionally and to the best of your ability. And you know, it's avoiding accidents, avoiding problems. You know, we get hot headed a lot of times out there. So yeah, that's what it is. It's getting involved in, you know, just kind of cooling yourself down a little sometimes. I do that a lot. I see myself all the time, you know, where it's like, man, that guy cut me off. And you got to like, calm down, you know, or one of those things where I'm not letting you merge or whatever. And yeah, you get fired up about it, but you got to calm down. You got to just kind of let it be, because you don't want to get in a circumstance where you're going to either cause an accident or, you know, next thing you know, if you do have a problem like that, somebody out there driving a car is going to call in on you, you know, get your truck number or whatever, you know, doesn't matter who you are. Cause even owner operators, you know, you got truck numbers now. So you got to watch out for that stuff. But yeah, that's the biggest like all the carriers that I talk to, they really do have a hard time finding qualified drivers. And the drivers, you know, like when you know there's a good company, the good companies are the ones that drivers are quitting their jobs to come work for that other company. You know, it was tankers. Tankers was a big thing down there. Of course, where you're in the oil field business or refinery business in the Houston area, southeast or the southeast Texas area there, you know, Gulf Coast, whatever you have it. The tanker carriers are a big thing. There were several there actually that do nothing but tanker. And one individual was explaining to me that there are carriers out there that they're constantly coming to him. Like he can't, you know, the drivers come from the other carrier because that's not a good carrier. And he's like, so they come into me, and I said, you know what? That speaks a lot to you as a carrier, because if they're quitting the carrier and coming to work for your carrier, I mean, granted, it's one of those things where, you know, at least you know you're better than that carrier, you know, because they're quitting their jobs because they're wanting to hire on. He had a driver come to him and tell him that he was not a good carrier, that his carrier sucked, because he worked for a carrier that he couldn't get none of his other carriers. Like the carrier, the driver that came to him worked for this carrier, the carrier that he worked for, the trucking company that this driver worked for. There were like three other drivers that applied for this other trucking company, the one I was talking to, and he turned them all three down. Because they had all bad history. He turned them all down. And so the other guy came, the fourth guy comes to him and says, your carrier is crap. Your carrier is not a good carrier. And I'm like, well, why is my carrier not a good carrier? And he's like, because I know drivers that applied to you and you wouldn't hire them. And so the guy's like, well, yeah, because all of the drivers that work for you, the your trucking company, they all suck. And it's one of those things where, why are they applying to this other trucking company? That trucking company pays better. The reason they pay better is because they want the better driver. So if you want the better paying job, you're going to have to be the better driver, which, you know, I'd ever say, well, how hard is it to be a truck driver? It's apparently better hard. You know, we got one of our videos out there right now. Everybody's watching on YouTube talking about how it's talking about, hit the bridge. You know, the bridge been hit four times in 1 year, you know, and it keeps getting hit, and all the locals are laughing at you. They're laughing at you, you know. Now, granted, they're probably not mostly all truck drivers. There were some straight trucks on there, and a lot of them are those contractors that are hired on like Amazon or whatever. And that's, you know, come down to it, Amazon is going to have to start working harder to get better drivers, because their name's all over the news, because they're the ones, you know, the local people, they think that it's that driver works for Amazon. And we all know they don't. You know, I don't think Amazon hires any truck drivers at all. You know, they're all contractors that working for somebody else that, you know, it's kind of like Amazon calls a guy and says, I need these trucks. And the guy says, I'll get you these trucks. And he gets other contractors. So this guy is a contractor, technically, you know, he's a broker maybe. And then he calls a bunch of other owner operators that are all independently, you know, either, leased onto a carrier, or they're all their own individual carriers. And then, you know, they're hired on. So, Does Amazon ever see those guys? Probably not. You know, they probably never see those guys. They never see their qualifications, and they're probably not very good, you know, because that's what it's all about. And you know that, I don't know, anybody out there could tell me if Amazon freight pays good. I don't know if it does or not. You know, I mean, the guys are moving up and down the road pretty good. So, you know, obviously most of them are paying good. Like you see, Amazon has day cabs. FedEx has day cabs too. But FedEx, some FedEx day cabs, you see, they're not, those trucks are owned by somebody else. They may have FedEx written on them, but they're an independent contractor. So anybody out there that's not in truck driving, if you see a name on the truck, doesn't necessarily mean the name on the truck owns the truck. Because you see, of course, truck drivers, we all know this, even like with, you know, the bigger carriers, there's always a owner of the truck, and then there's an operator of the truck, and the operating, or, you know, under the authority of, and the authority is of course the big company. And the regular people, what they do is they see Landstar. So they think, well, Landstar owns that truck. No, Landstar don't own that truck. The driver owns the truck. or somebody else owns a truck. Landstar is the operating authority, owns the operating authority. So there might be other issues with, and there are, I mean, I know for a fact that FedEx is the same way. Amazon might be the same as FedEx, where they have different operating authorities that are under the name, but the contractors, they own the trucks. So, but again, going back to the trying to hire drivers, it's all about being a good driver, being professional, and not, you know, showing up when you're supposed to show up, run the freight like you're supposed to run it, handle the customers with respect, and of course not hit anything. You know, that's the big key. And the carriers that I talked to at that truck show this weekend, they all said it's hard. It is very hard. They get tons of applicants, and it's very hard when you start trying to weed through all that stuff, because there are histories they have to check. They have to double check. And I mean, it's checking, double checking, triple checking, a lot of different stuff. And you might not think, well, I don't have any accidents. I don't have any tickets. You know, how come I can't get hired by these companies? And check your work history. That's another thing. If you've got 5 different trucking jobs in 3 years, a lot of carriers, they're not going to hire you. You know, if you've got, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, that they just don't like it that you have a pattern of going from carrier to carrier. They don't like that, you know. And then a lot of them I talk to also, too, it's like being like, you know, owner-operator versus company and all that. And there are a lot of these that have majority owner-operator and very little, you know, they're all majority owner-operator, very little company drivers. And they see that they're trying to move toward getting a company driver, getting more company drivers. And they see that it's a trend where I think it's because of the economy. It might be that. It might be more regulations, and it might be the trucks. You know, I mean, a lot of the and that's the other thing that these carriers, some of the carriers I talked to, they're talking about being owner operator. You know, it's like if you want to be an operator today, an owner operator today, you're going to have a newer truck. A lot of carriers won't let you have the older trucks. So you want the newer truck. Well, a lot of people don't know how to work on the new trucks, and the new trucks are expensive. So that's what's going to happen sometimes. So you never know what might happen with that. A lot of carriers I ran into down there, especially in the oil field industry, they don't really have any restrictions. They say as long as you can pass a DOT inspection, you know, you pass the inspection and all that. And they, I should have asked more in depth with that. Because I know we talked about it in the past about whether or not it's got to be their inspector or yours, or it doesn't matter as long as you go to an inspector, any inspector. We know that Landstar had some issues where they were requiring you to take it to their certified inspectors, which were, you know, a TA or whatever, and then you were held hostage because you didn't pass inspection. So I didn't really dive into all that stuff like that, but I did find out there were a lot of them, they didn't have any restrictions on the age of the truck. They, you know, the newer carriers, they have age restrictions, but these guys down there, of course, they're more in the oil field business or container business. One guy is in containers. So, you know, that was being an owner operator this was a Texas trucking show in Houston. Majority of all the carriers were based out of the Houston area, or they had ties to that industry, whether it be the refinery industry or the container industry. So that was a big deal. All in all, it was a great time. It was a great time. Met up with a lot of different people. Made some new friendships. Talked to a lot of different individuals. And of course, you know, you pass out the cards and let everybody know about Redneck and Eyes, and that's always a good thing. And of course, a lot of people were interested. And you know, I told them, I said, you know, call in the show. Let's talk about it. And so they said they would. So we'll see what happens. You know, that's all you can do. And of course, we're now on the air, so we got to do that, and we got to be on the air. So it's the radio show, and it's calling in, talking about whatever you want to talk about, life on the road, all things trucking, and then some. We appreciate everybody joining us and everything like that. We're also on YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody joining in, watching that. I think we're on YouTube Live, according to what the thing says. It says I'm on YouTube Live. But yeah, call us in 515-602-9731. It's Redneck and I's Radio. Redneckandeyes.com is our website. One of our great sponsors I'd like to thank, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And that is the diesel particulate filters and all the parts necessary to do all that. Exhaust system stuff that you have to do these days. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Again, it's dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a second.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Old cowboy, and I can tell you never had one for your own, or you never been around one. Now you're thinking that you found one. Well, it might be kind of fun to take him home. You giggle every time that I say yes, ma'am, and I get this feeling if I held you tight, you'd be seeing his and hers, buckles, boots, and spurs, but that feeling you'll get over overnight. Cause what you gonna do with a cowboy?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's 7, what is it? It's 7:20-something. But it's we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1, or you can listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody doing that for us, listening on YouTube. YouTube's been growing for us. It's been great success. We've been really happy with it. It's a way to get messages out there to truck drivers and videos about, you know, just knowledge of the open road and everything. So appreciate everybody doing that. Before we go any further, I want to thank one of my great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support. And you can check them out, truckertools.com. That's you can download their app from your app store on your cell phone. It's Trucker Tools, and it's the app for truckers. It's load tracking, route planning, all kind of good stuff. So check them out there. Like I said, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support. So one of the cool things that I was doing up there, you know, I was asking a lot of questions to the guys in there. And, of course, these are sales marketing people, so it's not really like they have a lot of information about details and everything. But every now and then you'll get, like, you know, whether it might be a rep for a certain department or a certain company or whatever. So the main deal was the it was dealership. And totally forgot what company it was. I think it was International. Yeah, it was International. International dealerships in the Texas area. It's a big, I guess, a big corporation where they own most of all the dealerships in that area. And of course, we were talking about I brought it up to the guy because he was talking about, you know, if he knows about all the locations that they have. And I'm like, well, you know what? I probably don't really know about all your locations. I might know a few offhand, but I don't know all of them. But here's a funny question. What if the dealerships for trucks, for big trucks, did the same thing as Harley-Davidson, where they had some type of program where you go in and you can relax and chill, and maybe y'all created, like the dealerships actually created, not necessarily a truck stop, but maybe a truck parking area or a lounge area, and maybe had some events, scheduled events where you show up and they've got free food and, you know, always something going on, and you bring your truck in and maybe you want them to look at it, or maybe you want to talk about upgrading, or just like what Harley does, man. Every time Harley Davidson throws a party, right? Everybody loves going to Harley Davidson for a party. If you live within 30 minutes of a Harley Davidson dealership and you get the notification of going to the party, you show up, it is a party. It is food, drinks, sound, music, giveaways, raffles, you know, contests, all kinds of different things. And their goal is to get you to show up. And of course, the first thing you're sitting, and actually you're meeting up with like other bikers, or, you know, bike riders that you might have known or seen before or whatever. And of course they got the Harley owners group and everything. But I mean, you're sitting there kicking back. Well, you know what? The salesman walk up to you and they're talking about it. You know, you want to trade that bike in yet? You want to get an upgrade, or, you know, you want a second bike, or, you know, whatever you need. And it was like, oh, well, you got a problem? You want to take a look at it? Let's take a look at it and all that. And now, granted, I did have an issue with my bike. I wasn't really a big thing where I wanted to go drop it off and make a certain effort, but I was at an event and I was hanging out and, of course, striking up a conversation with one of the maintenance guys, and he said, well, let me go take a look at it. And he said, pull it around over there. So I pulled it around. And, I mean, the event went on. Like, I mean, there was another 2 hours left in the event. We were hanging out, having a good time, drinking beer, whatever. And he comes back, and it's like, you know, right when the event's kind of coming to the end, he's like, yeah, we're all set. Everything's good. And it was under warranty, so you don't have to worry about it. And it's like, if only big truck dealerships can do that, can say, you know, you're here hanging out, having some burgers and free stuff or whatever. Why don't I take a look at it? Hey, it's warranty work. I can do the warranty work right now. It's done. And I told this guy that at the deal. I said, if the dealerships for the big trucks could figure out how to do that, where you could pull the guy in and get him done, I said, nobody wants to come to your dealerships. Because when the guy has a problem in his truck and he shows up, you tell him it'll be 3 days before I look at you. He goes, well, yeah, they are behind. I said, well, that's a problem. Why can't you fix it? And he's like, well, we're short mechanics and there's not a lot of room and all that stuff. And I said, again, okay, if Harley-Davidson can do it, that means that Harley-Davidson's building quality equipment that doesn't break. And, you know, even people that can't take care of their stuff can still get it in and get it fixed. You're saying that you cannot build a dealership shop big enough to handle all the crap that you got out there on the road that breaks down. That's what you're telling me. You know, I mean, one of the biggest Freightliners I've ever been to was up there in Knoxville. And I'm going to tell you something. That was a huge dealership with a lot of parking for trailers and trucks and everything. And it was still about half empty, and they were busy. They were behind. And it's like, how can – you've got all this room. So what happens if this place was full? Then you'd be really behind. And it's just – I don't get it. Maybe working on motorcycles is more fun than working on diesels. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that it pays anymore or pays any – yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine that. But anybody explain that to me? I don't know. But yeah, I asked the guy. I said, you know, if you had an event – that draws in the drivers, created some kind of incentive for the truck driver to want to go to the dealership, you know, and then you could try to create kind of, and it's one of those things where maybe there's something, instead of waiting until it breaks, maybe we can have people look at it before it breaks, you know, and that way you ain't got to worry about it being like back on parts or whatever. I don't know. And he's like, that's interesting. And of course, he's just a low level guy. He doesn't have anything to say about it. You know, the real guy that has to fix that is, of course, the CEO of, like, you know, International and Daimler and all those guys, the ones that just, they're just focusing on the dollars. They don't really care. you know, they see on there that, you know, their trucks break down, what, 15-20% of the time, and they're still making money. They don't care. You know, so that's kind of deal. But it was an interesting conversation to have with that guy, because he was like, yeah, they're behind. Okay, so why can't you, you know, why can't, well, it's, you know, it's what are you going to do? They're behind. It's, yeah, they're always behind. They've never been able to catch up, ever. You know, when you go into a, you go into the service department and they're never caught up. They never, ever get caught up, ever. Because as soon as they get close to, you know, it's like you get one done, two more come in. You get five done, 15 more come in. So, you know, they're behind. So, yeah. So let's go to the phones. Let's see. We got, I think this is our good old buddy Greg calling in. What's going on, bud?
I know what's wrong with it. It's out of gas.
Got to put gas in it. Ain't got no gas in it.
Yeah, they go, yep, out of gas. That's not going wrong with it. It's out of gas.
Oh, man. Good old stuff. Good stuff.
How you doing? How you doing this evening?
Man, I'm doing great. Great. Got two more poker chips. I went by two more dealerships, and one of them I had to – a good thing I was packing, because the other dealership was kind of in a bad neighborhood.
Is that right?
Yeah, south side of Houston.
did you okay your piece with D.C. before you took it?
With what?
Did you call Uncle Joe? Did you call Uncle Joe and ask him if it was all right if you took the gat with you when you went down there?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't. I live in Texas, so it's a, you know, like I kept it with me, and it was with me the whole time. And the only time that I didn't have it, I didn't really know if there was going to be any kind of tight security at the event, at the truck show. So I left it in the hotel room. But other than that, but actually there was no security. Could have walked in, no problem, because they weren't checking anything. So in fact, the funny thing was, is that a couple of the recruiters from a couple of carriers that I knew, I met them before, and they were hanging out. They actually live in the Houston area. So we're here just chit-chatting, talking back and forth, la-di-da and everything. And all of a sudden, like a balloon popped. And I'm going to tell you something, boy, they, like the one almost grabbed the table and started running to the table. And I'm like, damn, you guys were like looking. And he's like, man, you don't know about Houston. You got to watch out.
Another damn mass shooting getting ready to bust up in here.
Yeah, and that's what I thought about it. I was like, you know, after these events and everything, and of course the world we live in and all that stuff, it was surprising that you did not see lots of, you know, of course, and you know, it's one of those things. Nobody probably thought about coming into that room because there was no security, and being that there wasn't any security, you pretty well guaranteed that, you know, 50% of the people in there were probably packing.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say, man, being in Texas, like, yeah, you'd have to be a fool to walk up in there with a gun and start shooting somebody.
Exactly. And I mean, like, there were a lot of so the trucks, the show trucks, most of all the guys that were showing their trucks, they all either lived in Houston or they lived in South Texas or San Antonio, and they all grew up on the farm or out in the oil field, or, you know, their trucks are, like, I mean, you talk to some of those guys, like one guy hauls water and one guy hauls he works in the oil field where he hauls the frack sand and all that stuff like that. One guy is a bull hauler, you know, and another guy, he's a flatbedder that's running, you know, hay and stuff for the farms and everything. So I mean, it's all that stuff where it's like those are the backwood truckers right there. Those are the ones just like up there where you're at. You know, they ain't got time for all that other politic crap. They're just out there working because they either own the farm or they own the warehouse or the place that makes it. That's who they work for.
Right.
So yeah, a bunch of old school boys out there. One carrier that I mentioned before, and of course in the video when I was there, it's Clark Transportation. You ever heard of them? They run flatbed out of Beaumont.
No.
They've been around a while. They've been around a long time. In fact, I think the guy Clark, the guy that the owner, I mean, he's probably maybe 15 years or something older than Pete, you know, Ramsey. And him and Pete Ramsey are pretty good friends. And And he's, man, there on Sunday when they were trying to get one of those old trucks, you know, he's got a bunch of old trucks. He's got like a 60-something Mac and all that stuff. And one of them, he had to get it cranked up and he had the hood up working on it. Cause I mean, he's the guy, he's the owner, you know, it's his truck.
Yeah.
And he had about 6 or 8 trucks in that truck show.
Oh,
he's got them from like the, he got 90 models, 80 models, 70 models, 60 models. So yeah, he's got all those, he's always collected his trucks, you know, whenever he got a good one. So he's always an interesting character. He's the one that sent you that picture, that video of that cab over pulling that van. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice looking truck.
With something else.
Yeah. I like my old cab overs, man. Everybody said, yeah, you wouldn't like them if you had to ride in them. Well, you know, I can honestly say I like them, and I did ride in them. I've done my time in them.
Yeah.
I'd still have another one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing is, I don't know, I guess so what was the deal like working on them, I guess, where they were easier to work on or harder to work on? Why do you think people stopped making them?
Well, I don't know. It's different. You know, you hear different stories about why they quit making them and everything, and the biggest one was running around for a while was the insurance companies. But the reason for the cab overs, when they first come out, well, cab overs, I mean, when they started making them, flooded the market with them there for a while, was because when the 48-foot trailers come around, they had a length limit, you know, length law, and cab over was the only thing you could pull 48-foot trailer with without being over length.
I see.
And then same way, you know, and then they changed all that up. But there was rumors that the insurance companies was raising hell because, you know, if you got in an accident with it, you was perched when they're in the last to leave, you know.
Right.
The accident, but I don't know. In some instances, they was easier to work on, and some things they was harder. It depends on what you was doing. I know the glass companies stayed in business quite a bit because guys just start carrying it. Well, they had their thermoses and their TVs and everything, and they'd pull into a shop. They would take everything out of the bunker, strap everything down, and next thing you know, here come their thermos or TV rolling out through the windshield.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Bust the windshield out of them.
Is that if you didn't tie stuff down when they went to work on them, stuff would go flying around everywhere. I had just gotten into the military. This was back in 1997. My dad started driving for Pam, and that's what he drove as a cab over. And so I didn't drive it, and I didn't ride in it, but I kind of sat in and moved around a little bit. And it was one of them things where you still had to be good at crawling around, because in order to get from the driver's seat to the bunk, you kind of had to crawl back there.
Boy, the first truck I bought was an old 78 used. It was an old, it was a few years old, but it was a 78 International 4070.
Yeah.
Had a 290 Cummins with a 10-speed. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Boy, spring suspension. Had an old Fruhoff 42. Might have been a 42-foot spring ride Fruhoff trailer.
Yeah.
That I put in the company trailer. Oh, man, yeah. I was a shit, buddy. that old cab over, I just hadn't been driving. Well, I've been driving few years, but nothing. That was my first truck I bought. Man, I thought I had it, buddy. I was what it was, boy. Shoo, man. Them was the days.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you see there, those truck shows. It's always nice to see the old ones, you know, and some of those guys, they had everything original still, you know, with the gauges and everything like that and everything.
Yep.
They never, you know, and you saw that, you know, nowadays. Even if a truck has a lot of stuff on it, the gauges are all computerized, so it's all in one big thing. But, you know, back then, the whole dash is nothing but gauges, and it was really impressive to see that they had it all still original and everything. So that was great to see that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, they're taking a lot of them now. They're taking a lot of them old cab overs now, and the guys is redoing them. You know, they're restoring them. Well, what you want to say, they're not really restoring them. They're basically modifying them, because once you stretch them and you put the electronic engines in, like the Detroits and the electronic Cummins or, you know, whatever, the Cats, whatever. And then you put all the, you know, the electronic gauges and dash and everything in them. You just, you know, I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. They're beautiful trucks. But as far as being a collector's piece, you ruined the value of it, really, because they're not original. They're not, no, you did restore it back to original condition, you know, factory condition.
Right.
When you change stuff like that, it's just like taking an older, you know, you take an older classic car, you know, once you take the engine that was in it out and put another engine in it, well, now it's not a numbers matching car no more. Now it's, you done ruined the value of it.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So, and it's the same way with the truck, but nobody cares.
Yep. There was another interest. So I actually had a good conversation with one of the Walmart drivers, or, you know, of course, you know, when they, Walmart showed up, they spent, man, Walmart had the big booth with the truck and the tables and everybody there. And of course they brought their drivers in, and, you know, you could tell which ones were the old school drivers and the newer drivers. The one guy was there, and he looked like the old Walmart driver. You know, he had the cowboy hat,
right,
or the ball cap with the button-up shirt and the blue,
right,
jeans and everything. So I struck up a conversation with,
yep,
him, and that's, I asked him, I said, so you guys spend a lot of money trying to recruit drivers here. You guys showing up to try to find drivers, you know, are you that short of drivers that you have to do that? And he's like, oh, yeah, we need drivers bad. I said, well, why? I mean, I thought Walmart really paid good, you know, they had good wages for their drivers. How come is it that you can't find drivers? Is it because nobody's applying, or is it because nobody's qualified? And he said, yeah, it's hard to find drivers that qualify. And I said, and then when you do hire a driver, you know, why can't he stay? Is he quitting because he don't like it, or do y'all have to run him off because he's crap? He's like, yeah, we run off quite a few because we, you know, he said, we fire more than quit. And is what he says. And, it's all about, you know, being on time, you know, when,
right,
being where you say you're going to be. And of course, you know, accidents or whatever, he said,
right,
he goes, there's a lot of issues and it was nice to hear that, you know, even Walmart thinks the same way that we do here at Red Recognize, is that, yeah,
right,
you know, there are crap drivers out there. It's not a shortage of applicants. It's a shortage of qualified applicants.
Right. Yeah, it's not a shortage of drivers. It's a shortage of good drivers. You're right. I mean,
mm-hmm,
you can get drivers anywhere, but getting good drivers, you know, and it goes back to what we've talked about time and time again. You know, you get what you pay for. If you
that's
don't
right
pay nothing, you ain't getting nothing, you know?
Yep. And that's the thing, too, is a little bit ago before you called in, to a lot of different carriers. There's several carriers there.
Right.
And one guy said, one guy walked up to him at a trade show or a job fair or whatever, and he's like, your carrier sucks. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I had a couple of buddies of mine that worked for the same place I work for here, and you wouldn't hire them, and that's crap. And he's like, well, because you know why? Because all of your drivers over there, they suck. All of your drivers can't qualify to work here. And they
right
apply for the other carrier because that carrier pays really well. They want the good paying job.
Right.
So
right
they can't get hired on because they're not qualified. And it's like, well, that's it.
Right.
You know, just like you're saying, if you're not paying good wages, you're not going to get good drivers. Well, if you're not a good driver, you're not going to get good wages.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. And
you got a driving record as long as your arm, you know. You go, if I go by, especially with you, you got a bunch of speed tickets, a bunch of accidents.
That's right.
You're late for labor deliveries, and you know, every time you turn around, your ass is itching, you know, and you overslept or you're, you know, you had to take your dog to the vet or what, you know, they don't want to hear that, you know.
Yep, that's
get
right.
Get it off.
Right. They don't want to hear
job,
that.
Go home.
Yep.
But hey, back to the trucks for a second.
Okay.
You talk about the cab overs and redoing the newer trucks and everything. Think about this. You know, now back then, when the old trucks was around, they had the old diesel engines and the old gas, you know, gas engines even way back when, the non-turbos and all that. Now everybody started getting electronic engines, and now the electric trucks are coming around. They restored, and they're redoing and restoring, and and making, building these, all these show trucks out of these older trucks now. Just think, in another 50, 60 years, they're going to be taking, they're doing engine swaps and stuff. 50, 60 years, they're going to be taking them electric trucks. They're going to be yanking them damn electric motors and batteries and stuff out and swapping them out with diesel engines and say, look at here, now we made a good truck out of it.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
Might be. You're right. Because what we know. I mean, I even talked to a couple of guys out there that are modifying their trucks, and I told them about your truck and how it's got the Series 60 on it, and he goes, man, that motor will go forever. I said, well, yeah. I said, that's, you know, he always brags about how easy it is to work on, so that's the way it is. You know, it's when you find a good motor like that, why change a good thing like that, you know? Why ruin a good thing when you got a motor you can work on that lasts, that's reliable like that?
I say, I pick on the Caterpillars and the Cummins and everything, but the older Cummins, the N14s, so the new ones I ain't got too much love for, but I mean, just like the older Cats, I pick on them, and there wasn't nothing wrong with the Cat. Cat was a good engine. They really are. I mean, they was, but you know, but the only thing was, it was so damn expensive to work on. You know, I mean, the Caterpillar does a hell of a good job. Yeah, I just, I got to tease them all the time, Donnie and Robbie and them all the time, and say, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with a Cat long as somebody else owns it, you know. But they're just expensive. You know, you can rebuild this Detroit. You can rebuild one of these Detroits for about half what it costs to rebuild a Cat.
Right, right.
You know, and, yeah, you ain't got the cubic inch on this Detroit that you got with a Cat. But if you get it set right, it does a good job. They do all right.
Good deal. Well, speaking of which,
your
calling in.
What? What's the issue? What the problem
the
is?
Issue?
Why you have to be so angry?
Yeah.
you should have heard Greg this morning. Holy cow. I thought he was going to bite my head off.
Oh,
he was lit this morning. Oh, yeah. The loads that he had got this morning, he was upside down.
Oh, man. That was funny. I love it, though, when a broker gets their butt, their ass handed to him. That load I hauled for this broker, and it was plastic. It was like 9,700 pounds, a whole trailer load of plastic filters, you know, for water filtration.
Filters.
They loaded me down here this morning at 8 o'clock. Laid over all weekend down there in Greer, South Carolina to get it. So I get it loaded up this morning and take off. I delivered Louisville this evening. I'm on my way down here to Hawesville, Kentucky now to reload. But anyhow, I got up there to unload it, and I got back to the dock, and he's unloaded. He comes out. It's taking him forever to bring him up. I said, where the hell's my bills at? I walked in because I heard the dock plate go down. I get in there. He's just then carrying the bills out. He saw, man, this load was all messed up. I said, what's wrong? He said, everything they put on there, wasn't none of it the right stuff. He said it had the right number of pallets on there, right pallet count on there, but he said stuff they sent wasn't what we ordered. He said it was all wrong stuff. We'll use it. You know, he said, I mean, we used that product, but that wasn't what we ordered. I said, well, it ain't nothing I done. He said, nope, wasn't you done. Man, them bills was marked up so bad with ink, I almost had a hard time finding a place to write my pro number and stuff on it to fax the bills or to scan the bills in. I mean, he had writing all over the bills. I sent that in. I thought, man, I can't wait till that damn broker gets hold of that bill. Say, put that one on the driver, will you?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a mess.
Hmm. Man.
Yeah, I'm going down here to Hallsville and load this wagon up tonight, and I'm going to find me someplace and take this Fiesta. And it's back to North Carolina in the morning. I got to tear this thing apart. I'm going home next week. Tear this thing apart and put my airbags and put my air ride steer axle on this thing next weekend. So we'll have to see how that makes out. I'll get this to make a video to put on our website or on our YouTube.
You might want to just mute it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna tell her. You know,
I could see it now. Yeah, there's sure. gonna be a couple F bombs going. You know,
yeah,
this and
no,
that and the other words.
Yeah, I'm sure before I get it done, I'll probably be uttering a few profane syllables. But yeah, it'll be all right. She can edit it out.
Well, Greg almost took a turn. He was in Louisville. He almost went downtown.
Oh.
Oh man.
To two places. The blue drink?
That place down there.
All I can say is the blue drink. Ed, you know what I'm talking about. and Joe's Crab Shack.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I told him, I said, yeah. I can't get the truck down there to get my blue MF-er, but I said, what the hell? I said, if I wonder if I get, I wonder if they get mad if I park the truck run down over the hill to Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah, see? That would have been a good video.
Well, doing some research, and we get out to that truck show at Clinton out there. Well, you know, we might well go. I might have to have find me a hangout out there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I hope.
Right,
I don't
side
know.
Of it, you know, if we're able to go out, if you guys are able to come up, which it doesn't matter one way or the other, it ain't no big deal. But if we do, and we take our motor home out there, I figure we got a designated driver. We'll make Tiff drive, and we'll sit back there, and we can sit back there and have some do Jello shots or do whatever Long Island, whatever we want to do back there. Oh yeah, and
oh
we'll
yeah.
Happy as hell time we get out the other side of PA.
There you go.
We were like that when we went downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
All three of us were little loopy.
That was a good time down there this year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I think that was the best day.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Every time we all get together, we have a good, it's for a good
that's
time.
That's what it is. Hanging out with good people, that's what it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you guys would have enjoyed it. The hotel is nice, but there's a lot of places to eat around there downtown. But, I mean, what it is, it's a small show. So we actually hung out and talked more than anything because it's not, you know, it wasn't like Louisville where you had to keep walking in order to see stuff. You know what I mean? So I got to hang out with the trucks. And actually the drivers of the trucks are actually right there hanging out with you. So, you know, and they're actually walking around too. So yeah, that deal too. But, I mean, what you need to do is figure out where you can get some freight and head out to Iowa next to these, like, what is it, in a couple of weeks, on the 14th of July, you can be out there for that one in Walcott.
Or Walcott?
Yeah. See?
I probably won't be there for that.
I'd probably be a divorce court.
I was thinking, I was... No, today is my youngest son's birthday. He turned 18 today. And as of right now, he's going into the Navy. I think his ship-off date is July 12th. So, yeah, the truck show and being in Phoenix at the same time, that ain't going to happen.
There you go, boy.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to get home for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I get a chance, Ed, I get up around Youngstown. I'll get some poker chips up there at Youngstown, Harley, and send you one of them, send you some of them.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, I got your bike up for sale, too, just so you know.
Uh-oh. That'll go quick.
Oh, Greg's on a selling spree right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm liquidating, man. I got my trailer paid off. I'm going to get rid of my Conestoga because I don't use it. It's too short. At 45.96, sorry for steel up around there, but running the road, it's getting old, short, you know. There ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just run what I'm running. So we're going to sell it. We'll pay my dry van off, which it's about there now. I'm going to pay it off, and I'm going to park this, and we'll go out and see if I get the step deck. I'm going to find me a step deck, go back to – I'm going to go out and see how the other side lives again for a while.
Oh, jeez.
Hey,
I know. Get rid of this belly.
Yeah,
I know a guy that sell you an RGN. You want to do that?
You know what? I don't think. I just tell him
is my phone breaking
right
up?
Now.
I tell you what, man.
Yeah, I'm not in the market right now.
Owning an RGN is like owning a boat. The best day about the RGN is the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Yeah, the day you get it, the day you get rid of it. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's hilarious.
You know, I don't want to, you know, say this too loud, out loud, but I do believe that I told somebody, you know, you might want to rethink this before you do that just yet.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't try to find a one that's 4 or 5 years old that's in real good shape. You know, you can get it for probably half what you pay. Oh, no, I want a hydraulic one. I want one with a pony motor. I want a new one. I'm just going to get a new one. Okay, hero. You got it.
Yeah.
Hey, kudos, he did it.
Hmm.
But
hey, if you're gonna go big, you gotta go big.
That's right.
That's what it
go
is.
Big
go big
home,
or go home.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he did. He went big, and he ends up at home all the time.
Yeah. See.
Yeah, it's bad out here, man. It's tough.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's what that's what we see. Even at the truck show, a lot of the drivers came in. The only drivers that really showed up are the ones that really didn't. They didn't need a job. They weren't looking,
right.
Or they were new. So a lot of the people that were stopping by these recruiters, they were brand new drivers that probably couldn't get hired on because a lot of carriers are looking for experience and everything like that. But yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, it's I don't know. The ones that do have jobs are out there hustling, but the only other ones that are, like I said, the ones that showed up here to this truck show is the ones that were high on the hog, where they either owned a truck or they worked for a company and they were making great money and they had great time off and they didn't care about, talking to nobody. And it was funny because they'd walk in and they'd want the pins or they'd want the free stuff. And they're like, well, are you a driver? Well, yeah. And he goes, okay. You you happy? Oh yeah. I love it. Make tons of money. And they're like, what the hell you doing here? Get the hell. Give me my pin back. It was funny.
Yeah, we was talking about that somewhere today. The other day we was talking, some of us, I forget where I was at, talking about where all this traffic's coming from, gas $5 a gallon and, nobody's supposed to have, be able to work and you can't afford to eat and everything, but where's all this traffic going from? They're backups everywhere you look, So I think I figured that out. I think with all the madness going on now over all this, Supreme Court where they turned the abortion down and the gun rights up there in New York and all that, I think I figured out where they're getting all their money for gas.
Uh-oh.
I think Uncle Joe is paying them to protest. I think they're getting a check every month from the government, from the Democrat, from this administration. I think they're paying them to protest again.
Hmm. Might be.
I'm thinking I want to check into this because, man, I tell you what, trucking's getting tough.
That it is.
The protesting thing, though, I don't think that pays a good wage. I think that's just like pot money. I think those guys, all they want is money for pot. Those guys that are being paid to protest.
Lord, forgive me. Leave it to starving make me.
Ain't got no gas in it.
That's the problem. Ain't got no gas in it.
Ain't got no gas in it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I'm going to work. I'll see you guys later.
All right, y'all. I'll talk to you. Maybe
I'm done for the day.
Yeah. I will be here in another hour. As soon as I get loaded, I'm going to put this thing in the dirt hole somewhere, and I'm done.
I'll
talk to y'all later.
Yep, I'm going to stop and buy a Powerball ticket on the way to work, and maybe I'll be done for the day for good.
Hey, don't forget your friends.
Hey, just remember who your friends are.
Exactly.
I said, don't forget your friends, man.
Yep.
Don't forget your friends.
Yeah.
As soon as you split it with me, as soon as you give me my share, you're never going to see my fat ass again. I just so you know.
So to get rid of you, I know that's one way to get rid of you.
Yeah, I got a dollar amount to get rid of me.
That's
so
awesome.
Be a few $1 million, you'll never see me again, buddy. I'll send you a postcard from Aruba or somewhere. All right, see y'all later.
All right, now, good deal.
See ya.
Bye.
Yep, good deal. Monday's in the books,
have a
y'all.
Good night.
All right, bud. Yep, Monday's in the books, y'all. I'm heading to work, and I'll see y'all tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time, every weekday. You can get us right here, 515-602-9731. Let me get it started up. There you go. So, yeah, just check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody. That's it right there. Boom, how you do it. So, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio live here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call us up 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one and talk about anything on the road, all things trucking and then some. And, let's see what you got. Like I said, thanks everybody for getting on our YouTube channel and subscribing to that. Appreciate all that. I want to thank our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation, LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Again, that's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And, of course, our other great sponsors, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, and, of course, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. Thank all those for their support of Redneck and Knives, and just thank for everybody else. And, of course, don't get a shout-out for cdllife.com. Those are great people out there looking for great things happening for Redneck and Knives and cdllife.com. And looking for a great relationship with those guys. So I appreciate all their support and all their help. And so whatever we can do to help you out in the trucking industry, just let us know. Like I said, redneckandknives.com. Send us a line. We also got an email address, redneckandknives@usa.com. Just let us know what you got, you know, or comment on the video, and we'll try to get back to it if, you know, a lot of times it's just comments. Hey, that's great, you know. But if you got questions, you know, we try to answer them. So try to do our best on that. Like I said, RedneckandKnives.com. We appreciate everybody doing that. So until next time, y'all stay safe, stay successful, get between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
With the tears, because our baby's love has been revoked. The bond is broke, got some choke up info. Kiss all my clothes, miss all wills I can't wait for. No God, I can't get focused. No, no, sit back, kick back, and watch the world get bushwhacked. Dead in your neighborhood, it's under attack. Put away the crack, sit on the crack. Put you away, you need to be there when your baby's old enough to be late. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.